Good evening, everyone. It's our joy and stand before you and open up the scriptures, share a little bit about our life. I've been challenged quite a bit since I was given this assignment or an invitation. In my own life, am I living what I'm going to teach? I grew up in Minnesota, in the snowy woods of north central Minnesota. My grandpa had a farm, milked cows, and I'd go and be with my grandpa sometimes, helping him in the farm, and then he'd say, John, it's time to pray. After we got all the cows milked and put them back outside in summer, we'd go into the front of the mangers there, and we kneel down in the hay and pray. And I remember at another time praying with my grandpa just a few years before he passed away. And he was praying. And when we got done, we were tired. And he said, prayer's hard work. But he kept on praying. And Alice and I grew up that way, praying. We used to have fast and prayer service at Christian High School on Friday noon. And Alice was part of that. That's one thing that attracted me to Alice. And we'd walk to fast and prayer services at the church early in the morning. And prayer's just been part of my life. I remember when I was working away from home, I'd come home on the weekends, and Dad would say, John, my name is Wayne John, he'd say, John, let's go for a walk. And we'd end up out in the woods somewhere and kneel down by a stump and pray. And I just want to share a little bit of a prayer life and things that I've learned and a pattern that I've learned about praying for missionaries. And it's a pattern that has been a blessing in my life. And I think we can adapt it quite a bit to praying for Christian leaders, for our pastors and Sunday school teachers. And I'm going to take you to one of the shortest verses in the Bible. It's not Jesus wept, no. It's we find it in the book of Thessalonians, and it's in the first book. We're going to find a prayer request here in the first book that Paul wrote. You know, we think of the churches that Paul wrote these letters to, and nearly every letter that he wrote, he put in a prayer request for himself. And I think that's kind of interesting that Paul, being a man of prayer, and a man of intercession, and he was praying for the churches and praying for the unreached people, praying for the Jewish, praying for the Gentiles, praying for the other apostles. But yet he asked prayer for himself. And he lived by the fact that people were praying for him. So if we go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, and he says, brethren, pray for us. Now, he wasn't writing to Peter and John and Matthew. He wasn't writing to the other apostles. He was writing to the people in the church. And many of them had just been converted. And he wasn't writing to the people who had spiritual training. They were just new converts, but Paul depended on them to pray for him. And he said, brethren, pray for us. And we can see ourselves in that, because we are brethren. We're the people in the church. We're not the apostles up in headquarters somewhere. We're not the unsaved people that never been reached. We're like Paul said. Paul said, brethren. He could have said sisters. But I can see myself in that word. If he was here, he might say, Wayne, Amber, Sarah, pray for me. And how many times have we heard a missionary say, would you pray for me? We say, we'll pray for you. When they come back, they say, well, thank you for praying. Well, I'm not sure I deserved that. I didn't. I heard our pastor, because we've been coming here now a few months. We love Pastor Robert and his family and you. But Pastor, right here, 2 weeks ago, he said, pray for our leadership. He said, we've been going through a horrific year. Just like Paul said, brethren, pray for us. We had a prayer request from our pastor, just like Paul. Well, let's look at another verse that kind of is on the same theme. See, he wrote this to the letter that he sent to Thessalonica. Now, we might say, well, he wrote the letter to Little Rock. But he didn't just go to Little Rock. He went to Denver. Well, let's go see what he wrote to the people in the other church in Corinthians. His second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 1. And it's in verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. He said, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us? That was the kind of life he lived, a life of deliverance. And he was in danger a lot. In whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Sunday, Pastor was talking about the past, present, and future, that which was and which is and is to come. Here he says, from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us. He considered them his helpers. And when Pastor said to us, pray for the leadership of the church, he was praying, he's saying, you're our helpers. And missionaries consider those who pray for them as their helpers. We've heard about one famous missionary said, I'll go down deep in the well, reach the lost if you'll hold the ropes. And we hold those ropes by prayer, helping together in prayer. Praying people are partners in God's work. And we write to people who pray for us, and we write, dear partners, or thank you for being a partner with us. And we don't think about ourselves just doing the work, or it's not our work. It's God's work, and it's the work of those who are praying for us. So I consider you as partners in God's work. So we'll just continue on rather quickly here. There's about six things I want to point out. We may not get to the sixth one. Things that Paul said, when you pray, pray this way. Pray for these things. And he was writing to another church. Now, let's say this one's in Oklahoma City. They're far away. They're different churches. But when he writes to these people, he gives them a prayer request. This time it's in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And he says, continue earnestly in prayer. Why would he put earnestly in there? Because we are all in the danger of praying half-heartedly. But he said, forget about half-hearted, lukewarm. Pray earnestly. That's the kind of prayers that Paul wanted them to pray. Continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it. And don't forget to offer thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for me, for us, that God would open to us a door. And so one of the first things I want to put down is pray for an open door, an opportunity. You know, missionaries can go out there and they can get all their training. And they can learn how to preach. They can learn how to teach. They can learn doctrine. They can learn languages. And they can get support. And they can get all kinds of training and ability. But that doesn't open the door. They need good evening, welcome to a little study here about prayer. The theme of our Wednesday night meetings is prayer. Tonight we're talking about how Paul asked different churches to pray for him because he was in the ministry and he wasn't dependent on himself. He was dependent on people who were in the church. And he wrote to them, he said, "Brethren, pray earnestly for me. Pray that God would open a door." And did Paul have opportunity? Did he have open doors? Well, he even went before the highest rulers and the judges. And he had an open door to declare, even up in Athens, the smartest, most prominent people in the city came out to hear him. Yeah, God opened a door for him on the ships, in the prison. He opened a door not just so he could escape, but he opened a door for him to preach and teach. And so we don't want to just depend on the fact, well, we can, pastor knows the Bible. These missionaries, they know the Bible. They've got full support. Just let them go. That's good. No, we pray for them that when they get there, there will be an opportunity somehow to get into someone's heart and home, and they'll recognize it. Pray that they'll recognize how God is leading them to a person that they can bring to Christ, and that God will open a door for training and for to reveal his glory. I remember as we went to a village out in Guatemala, the first weeks we were there, it was probably only the third or fourth week. It was during the rainy season in November, and the roads were terrible. And a knock came on the door, and I went, and here was a man in all his uniform, military, and he said, "You need to go over to the municipality, over to the city office. They want to see you." It was on Sunday. Trying to make a long story short, I didn't know what was going on. They said, we want you to take us. You're the only one in the village that has a car, a van. And it was, you know, the last 4 hours going out there was in second gear. And they said, "You've got to go." I said, "I know the roads are terrible. We can't get to that village. You've got to try." So with 14 men in my van, I went that day. And into the night, when we couldn't go any farther, we left it in a mud hole and we walked into the next town. And there had been a fight, and people were hurt, and they couldn't really treat the people until they had a hearing. And our mayor and our secretary had to go and have a hearing. And finally they said, "Well, let's go back home." I said, "Tonight?" "Yeah, we don't want to stay here." So we walked through the night, got back to our car, got it turned around. And at daylight, I was coming back home with my car full of mud. And the mayor said, "Señor Huff, we thank you for doing what you've done for us. And if we can help you in any way while you're in our village, while you're living here, just call us. We're a sus órdenes. We're at your orders." That was my open door. People were praying. God gave me an open door. I didn't expect it that way, but that's the way it happened. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, let's go there. Here's another town. Let's say this is Lubbock. He's right into another church, and he's got another prayer request. And we find five different times in these letters that he wrote to these churches, five different times he said, "Pray that I may have boldness." Have you found it in Ephesians? This is the scripture about the spiritual warfare that we've heard about here in the church. He said in verse 19, the very last part of the book in chapter 6, praying always, he's talking about what you ought to do. This is the way the church should be. Praying always all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. And then in verse 19, "and for me." Paul was humble enough as the apostle to ask for prayer for himself. "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly." And it's not bad for us to ask God to give us boldness. That if we feel too timid, too afraid, too embarrassed, too shy, It's not natural for us to do what we're asked to do. Well, let's do like Paul did and say, pray for me that I can have boldness. And okay, let's, how should we pray for our pastor? Pray that he have boldness to preach it the way it is. What should we pray for our Sunday school teacher? Pray that they'll have boldness to teach it the way it is. And he said, pray that I will have boldness. Why do we need to pray for a missionary to have boldness? I think, wow, look at them. They're going out there around the world. They must be bold. Not necessarily. They're trying to be obedient. But you don't automatically become a bold person when you cross a border. You can become quickly embarrassed. You can become quickly reluctant. You can make a mistake and be so embarrassed, you think, I'll never do that again. No, you've got to say, okay, mistake. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I used the wrong word. But I'm going to try again. Because God will give me boldness if people pray for me. And I have seen people who are naturally timid, who are naturally shy, when they get in another culture, they change. And they become what God wants them to be and how God can use them. I've had people travel with me in Guatemala, and they come home and say, Wayne's a different guy when he gets to Guatemala. He's, bold. He's outspoken, and he's this way. When he's home, he's more like this. Pray that our leaders will have boldness. Was Paul bold? Yes. Why? Because people were praying, and he depended on people to pray, that he would have boldness. Okay. We better hurry along here. So now we've seen his letter to Colossae, to Thessalonica, and to we're going to look now back to Thessalonians again, chapter 3. And this is a good prayer request to think about. First of all, we started our talk about the letter he wrote, the first letter he wrote to the people in Thessalonica, to that church. Now he's writing a second letter to them, and he brings up this another prayer request. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, now that sounds like it's going to come to something pretty important, doesn't it? Finally, brethren, that's you and me, people in the church, not the apostles or the church leaders, but brethren, pray for us that the word of God may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. This is that the word of God may run swiftly. Now, we all know what a brook is, a creek, a crick, a creek, a brook, a river. That's water that's running. And there is a stream of life. And the word of God is like a river running. And it needs free course. And we go out there and we say, Lord, would you cause people to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And Lord, may they see the living water. May they come to drink of it. And Lord, I'm preaching. And may the word of God have free course. Well, why wouldn't it? What keeps a creek, a crick from running? Obstacles, stones, mud, trash. And Satan wants to put obstacles in the way of the message. In this church, in the Sunday school class, where the missionary is working. And he said, I've got this problem, folks. Would you pray for me that the word of God will have free course? That when I speak it boldly, it'll go forth and the obstacles will be removed. And that means that we have to resist the devil and get into the spiritual warfare with them. And I want to give you a little bit of a pattern, a clue, a secret that I learned. And we find it in the book of James, chapter 4. We need to resist the devil, right? And we know that it's not just easy that people out there say, come, 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 teach me the word of God, tell me about Jesus. No, those people are locked in darkness and bondage and lies. And we need to have a way to remove the obstacles so the word of God may have free course and flow. So the word can be like a river. How do we remove those obstacles? In James chapter 4, we find these words. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil. Now, I see those two parts to the same effort. Submit yourselves. You ever pick up a child that submits themselves to you and they just lay on your shoulder? And they're submitted. They're not struggling. And that's the way God wants us to come. And when I start praying this pattern, I'm going to pray and resist the darkness and the bondages that are people under. I say, Lord Jesus, I come to submit to you. And it's like I'm leaning back on the Lord. And he puts his arms around me. And then I look out at the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil. Not with my own strength, I'm submitted to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Okay, Lord, I'm taking this stand. I'm taking this position. The position of prayer is to submit to God. Say, Lord, this is your work. It's your gospel. It's your Holy Spirit. It's your blood. And all I can do, Lord, is to submit myself to you. And then we say, now I take onto me the whole armor of God. And in the name of Jesus, I resist the devil. And the devil must flee. And Lord, I ask for your light to shine. I ask for eyes to be open, that people may see the goodness of the Lord, and they may hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, while we're in this passage right here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at the next verse. We've covered open doors, boldness, the word of God having free course. And now he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all now have not faith. Now, there's a lot of persecution going on in the world. Missionaries usually can come and go quite easily, but there are major problems they have to face, and even our pastors and this church, you know, dealing with the public, with the rules of the city, and with the buildings and unreasonable requests and demands. So pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. And so we need to ask for God's favor. In Romans chapter 15, now we're talking about another city. And this could be El Paso or something. He's writing another letter to another church. And again, he asks a prayer request. This time it's in the city of Rome, chapter 15, verse 31. Oh, Paul said, I long to come unto you that I may see you. In the first part of the book, he said, I know that if I just get there, I could impart unto you a spiritual gift. And he wants to come. And he says in chapter 15, verse 31, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Do you ever have your mom or your dad or your husband or wife say, I urge you, you do this. This is something that it means a lot to me. And Paul said, and maybe if he had been there in front of him, he would have extended his arms out. He said, I urge you. Another translation, he says, I beseech you. This is important. I urge you, brothers and sisters. There, we got the sisters into it. That means you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, this is something that's important to Jesus. Praying for missionaries is important to Jesus. Praying for your pastor is important to Jesus. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit. If we pray like this, we're going to have the love of the Spirit in our life. We're going to be helping. We're going to be partners in the kingdom. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle. When we're in a struggle, we need help, don't we? We need someone to join us, to come alongside of us. He said, hey, come and join me in this struggle. By praying to God for me, pray that I may be kept safe and take to Jerusalem, may be favorably received. And that's where we're asking for favor on the ministry. Wherever our pastor goes, wherever these missionaries go, whether it's in a business, in a home, they're conducting a funeral, they're in a hospital, let their ministry be received. Can you see that word right there? That can be favorably received. And guide our pastor, guide these missionaries to have the right words, to be in the frame of compassion, to express the love of God, and that the people will receive it. So that I may come unto you. There's another prayer request, that I may come. Paul said, I long to see you. I want to come and pray that I may come. Why would he want them to pray about that? Because going somewhere in those days was difficult, even for missionaries today. They've got to get a visa. They can't just go and show up. They've got to go across the borders. They've got to go through immigration. They've got to have their luggage examined. They've got to empty their pockets. And they've got to show their papers. When we drove back and forth across Guatemala, there were checkpoints. Every so often we'd have to show our immunization, all these shots, all our papers, our money, our birth certificates. It was a trial. Pray that I may travel safely, that I can, that the weather, weather affects people. Maybe they can't fly. There were times when I was in a valley in Las Pecayas and the mud was so deep, and I needed mules. Couldn't hardly get mules because the weather was so bad. It was raining day after day. I couldn't get home and I was sick. I needed to travel, but I couldn't. But God helped me. I got so cold and so sick one time. I got the pressure gasoline lamp that we had out there. It's in our storage. And I lit it, and I put it down between my knees and covered up with all the clothes I had because I needed to travel home, but I couldn't. It was too muddy, and I was too sick. But he said, pray that I may come unto you. Because when he started out, he knew he might have a shipwreck, or he might get picked up. He might get stoned. He might get put in jail. So he didn't just think it. He didn't just say, well, I'll be there next month. No. He said, Dios mediante, God willing, if you pray for me, pray that I may come unto you. By the Lord's people. I remember traveling, going back down into the valley of Guatemala City with no brakes on my truck. I knew I didn't have any brakes, and I was careful enough. I got back down there. A few years ago, I was in a bus, a loaded bus, what we call the chicken bus, an old school bus, loaded with a lot of people and a lot of stuff up on top. And the bus driver stopped, and they put a block behind the wheel of the bus because we're on a slope, and they had some apples there they're going to put on top of the bus, take them to market. And as we were working on the bus, there it was rolling this way, and the block slipped out from under the wheel, and we started going backwards down the hill. And I thought, so this is it. What's Alex going to say? But God delivered me out of it. I had a little plan, and then I didn't need the plan because something happened that caused the wheels to get caught, and it turned the bus. And instead of going off into the big ravine, it went the other way and hit the bank over there. So God delivered me. Pray that I may come. Pray for their travel, their safety. And he said, let's see, we're finishing now with this one right here. He said, and by God's will, that's the mediante, by God's will. I don't want to go if it's not God's will. So pray that I'll understand. Today's the day. Yes. We ought to do it today. We ought to go today. Or no, we should wait until tomorrow. We're seeking the will. He said, pray that I may come in the will of God. And whatever our pastor and the ward may, he said, pray that our church, our board leaders will be led and they'll be in the will of God. They'll do it. Dios mediante. It's Spanish for that. So he said, pray that I may come and with you be refreshed. Paul said, when I get there and I preach and I teach, it's going to be good for me just like it's good for you. He said that I may impart unto you a spiritual truth. I know, and maybe you've been in these situations, when I've done the will of God, or when I've been out in a ministry, been to a hospital room, or conducted a funeral, or taught a class, and I've been so excited, I felt like, I don't care if there's nothing to eat tonight. I am just so happy. I where's my feet? Oh, they're up here. I just going along because I've done the will of God, and I've been refreshed. And you know, there's a saying that I want to leave with you, that the smell of the rose remains in the hand of the one who gives it away. And he said, if I can get there, I'll give you the gospel. I'll pray for you, and you'll be blessed, and I will, with you, I will be refreshed. So let's pray that our pastor, that when he preaches and when he teaches, he'll be refreshed. I know one pastor that I admire quite a bit. He was a single pastor. I didn't admire him for that, but because it's great to be married. But he said, when I preach, I get so blessed. And when I'm finished, he said, I want to spend Sunday afternoon getting ready for the next time. He just enjoyed it so much, and it was such an encouragement. Pray that I would. Okay, now, would you consider someone that you feel like you should pray for? Maybe it's a missionary, or maybe it's a pastor. And I've been challenged this way myself. This pattern might work for you for a while, maybe for a year or two or 5 years, maybe not the rest of your life. It's been a blessing in my life. And I, as I have prepared for this tonight, I am challenged again that people have asked me to pray, and I am beginning to pray this pattern again. Well, let's before we get into the other, let's follow this pattern of prayer just briefly. Would you pick out in your mind someone that you want to lift up in prayer? A Christian worker or a missionary. I have someone in mind way out in Uganda, the other side of the world. Let's pray. Okay, first of all, we pray for an open door. An open door for them. Possibilities, Lord. Bring people into their pathway. Give them favor in some homes with some leaders, even the authorities where they are. Open the door, Lord. Thank you. Now, Father, as they may be challenged with an open door, and maybe it costs too much, or it's too far, or too hard, Lord, give them boldness. courage of the Holy Spirit. We remember the scriptures, Lord, and we bless them with this scripture that in Acts it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Give them courage to try again and confidence in you, Lord. And Father, we pray that the word of God may have free course where these people are, that the obstacles, the bondages might be gone, and there'll just be an openness of people hungering and thirsting after you, Lord. And Father, we pray that you'll deliver them from evil men and those who don't believe. And we take the shield of faith, the quenching fiery darts of the wicked. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Lord, we stand against the wiles of the devil because we're submitted to you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will deal with Satan. And may the word of God go forth like a river, shining light, setting people free, that there'll be a harvest. Amen. And Father, I pray for them in their travels. Any limitations or restrictions that they have, if they need a seat, they need a visa, they need money for travel, that you will provide, that there won't be any limitation. Abundantly, Lord, meet that need with permission and favor and safety. And then, Lord, we pray that they'll be encouraged today, that they'll give out the word of God with joy, and they'll go on their way rejoicing. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and for your kingdom, for your glory. Amen. Amen.